thing that Jana's going to talk about today is feeding hungry children. And we have several volunteers here in the audience who help with this program. Jana.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you're a Backpack Meals volunteer, raise your hand. Look at that. One's going to be over there. So that's great. So Backpack Meals started about 10 years ago. Actually, 14. I keep saying 10. It's 14 years this year. And we've been bringing food. In the past year, we gave 30,000 packs of food for the weekend to about 1,000 kids. Does that kind of surprise you? That they live here in Bellevue, the most affluent city in the state of Washington. Washington, one of the most affluent states. Yeah, so we have a lot of kids, and we're glad that we can help them because of you. And the churches have been very generous with us to help us feed the kids. So we thank you for that and for volunteering because I'm not sure about what you're interested in knowing today, so I guess I could just start. I have some slides here. Because I know you already know a lot about Backpack Meals. But please ask me questions if there's something you need to know. On the tables when you leave, I left our annual report from last year, school year from 2022 to 2023. We're now in the 2023 to 2024 school year. That's our fiscal year. So, let's see if I can move on to a slide. That's kind of small. I don't know if you can see that. Backpack Meals are available to 30 Bellevue schools. I think there's maybe something like 38 schools in the Bellevue School District, 405. There's around 20,000 kids. But the enrollment has gone down. After COVID, the enrollment went down. I think there's something like 18,000 now. You may have heard that a couple of schools in the neighborhood closed. I think it was two. It's going to be three, but they worked it out to be two. It's really traumatic for neighborhoods to lose their schools, so it's a tough thing. And I just mentioned we serve 31,000 packs of food. And if you think about it, that's a lot. And look around and see the volunteers sitting at your table. They brought all these packs out. Think about that, too. So the volunteers come up to the Bellevue School District warehouse, which is over by Home Depot in Bellevue. And they bring the packs to schools. And some schools have as many as 50 packs. You know, depending on the neighborhood, some neighborhoods have a lot of kids who need food. There's 19% of the kids in Bellevue School District are on free and reduced meals. So what that means really is a family of four, designated living in poverty, would be earning $31,000 a year. That's for a family of four. And there could be one wage earner there. And minimum wage would bring you $31,000 a year. $15 an hour would amount to about $31,000 a year. So it's low income.
For the green light.
And it's a struggle. In addition, there are 400 homeless kids in Bellevue. They don't really call them homeless because they're not. Some of them may be living on the street and in cars. Some of them are on someone's couch or someone's floor. You know, they're in all kinds of different situations of disarray. And it's really tough for those kids. There is a law that Congress got into effect quite a while ago now. It's called the McKinney-Vento, and it requires all school districts to provide special needs for homeless kids. So there's a whole separate department in the Bellevue schools for homeless kids, and we call that McKinney-Vento. That's the congressman who sponsored that bill quite a few years ago. And I think it's pretty amazing. 103 languages are spoken in the Bellevue School District.
Wow.
103 languages. I can get Spanish and English, you know, that, but 103. So you can imagine the struggle it is for teachers in the Bellevue School District. If you know a teacher, give her hugs, him hugs, because it's got to be a really difficult job. And then you probably can't see the map, but those little dots, blue dots, are where the schools are. So you kind of know the districts where we have the most kids around the crossroads. A lot of immigrants come, and then why do we do this? You know, my bias is that the government and the state should be doing this, but they don't. And every time a bill comes up, it's a struggle to get it through. Although there is one in Washington that I think it passed that will give free lunch to every student. And that's a really good thing. So we're grateful for that. I just have to tell you this story because I don't want to ruin your day, but it kind of makes me mad every time I say this, but it's reality. There's 18 states in the United States that said no thank you when the government, the federal government, and got through Congress to give free summer meals to children. These are red states, of course. They said, no, we don't need that. And the governor of my home state even said, the kids are obese, why would I give them food?
Oh.
So there's a total lack of understanding what happens when you don't have enough to eat. So when you don't have enough to eat, you're going to eat foods that maybe aren't as healthy, that are cheaper, that you can get easily, that taste good to you, that will fill up your tummy for now. But they're not the kids, they're not the kinds of foods that make your brain, you know, healthy or your body healthy. So the first thing up there says children who are food insecure are 90% more likely to have health problems. So they're sick more, they have more colds, more flus, and they miss school more than kids who are eating well. And I say it's always good to kind of address what is hunger, because we know and we see the pictures of hungry kids around the world, and it's a little different than what we see. But it's hunger here is as tragic as hunger there. Kids don't develop. And when they don't develop properly, they're not making good decisions. They're not able to sit still in school and learn. They're restless. They get into more fights. They're just, I mean, think about it. We have this word in our culture we call hangry. Have you heard of that? It means you're hungry and you're angry mixed together. That's how probably kids feel. I don't know how it feels, but it's got to be tough. And then you have to let your friends know, and your best friend might be living in one of our high-income neighborhoods and don't understand why there's no food in your refrigerator if you go home after school. So I want to point to, I'll leave you a couple of articles here that I found, and I was just thrilled to read it. They did a study in 2020, this group of people, and they wanted to know if it made a difference if you gave kids food to go home on Friday. And they found that, yes, the kids who had we're giving school at home, or we're giving food to go home after school, their test scores raised. And so that's the first time I know of that a real study was done to show what's the value of giving food to kids on the weekend. I know it in my heart. Those of you who are moms and dads know how your kids are famished when they come home from school and they'll eat anything. But, you know, if they have good food, they're going to benefit and they're going to stay in school. They're going to learn more. They're going to be... hopefully grow up to be healthy, productive adults in our society. So that's really the end goal of why we feed the kids today. The last one on the bottom, the economy is affected by this because people aren't as productive, as I just said. So they're not going to be productive people if they haven't been raised in a way that their body and mind is healthy. So it benefits all of society to feed kids. One of the costs, of course, is health problems, the cost of medical treatment for kids who suffer more. We have a pediatrician who works with us and supports us financially in other ways, and she recognizes it, that it's an important thing to feed our kids on the weekend. I was looking this year for somebody who might want to merge with us or take us over another nonprofit because we are all volunteers. We have no paid staff. So it becomes harder to run an organization as it gets as big as Backpack Meals is now. We need a budget of $180,000 for the year. That takes a lot of fundraising, and people get weary. So it, what I found was that nobody really wanted to do this. The other nonprofits said, no, we don't want to do real food. Some of them gave out gift cards to students, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to have a pack of food that the kids get in their hand, they can eat right now, and they can feel better. They can go to an after-school activity or something like that. So that's why we do what we do. Just a couple of numbers again. Food insecure. Are you familiar with the word food insecurity?
Yeah.
Okay. It just basically means that you're not sure where your next meal is coming from. So those households who are food insecure spend 20% more on food, which is interesting to me. Why do you think that would be? Did you already hear what she said?
No.
It was important.
Well, as a senior in this community, there's a first Tuesday of the month, I can go to Walgreens, I can go to Fred Meyer, I can get food at 10 and 20% off because I have a car and I can wait till that point in time to be able to go and do my shopping. And folks who are hungry are having to walk in and get what they can get at the moment and are paying much more for it than I would end up paying with some strategy to my shopping.
That's a good point. And another one is transportation. If you're living on this low budget and you're just making minimum wage, you may not even have a car to go, or you may not have a gas to... We all know it's almost $60 now to fill up your tank. You may not have that. You may choose between your rent and buying food. So you have to shop quick when you're there, and you take what you can, and you end up maybe spending more than you would if you had been thoughtful about it or able to use the sales and things. So the number up there is 50 million people in the United States. One in six households is food insecure. So why is that in a land of plenty, do you think? That's a lot of people.
There are a lot of factors. So part of it is, as you said, not having transportation. Sometimes it might be illness that you're not able to. Lack of education and training. The area where you live, where there aren't, you know, if you look at places like West Virginia, you know, where there aren't a lot of opportunities for employment, or a lot of people live in, you know, semi-rural areas. So there's just a whole lot of issues. You can't just pin it to one or two or three things. And I think some of it's regional and some of it's everywhere.
Thank you, Linda. Yes?
Well, if you're hangry, you would go to the closest store, which is probably a 7-Eleven, get some potato chips or something that's going to satisfy you right away.
Yes, absolutely. Yes?
I'm curious as to what do the meals look like in the program?
Okay.
Are they processed foods or are they natural foods, fruits?
Yeah, that's not, you know, it's, I think it's healthy food, but they're obviously they're processed food. It has to be shelf stable, which means we don't want them to rot if they got left in the school bus. That's the schools said, no, we can't have fresh food. We do sometimes in the year, things like apples and oranges are pretty good, so we can give those. But they do require us. Kids are kids. We all know how kids behave. Not always great. So they're going to leave a bag of food someplace, or they're going to leave a banana or a sandwich someplace. So we are careful. So what's in them, to get specific, would be, I guess I don't have a picture. I might have a picture. Yeah, there's a picture. So it's kind of like that. It's fruit packs, can of soup, milk that you can store, that type of thing. So it's not what I would really like to give them. I mean, it'd be great if we could go home and fix them a really nice meal and all that. But and also, when I first started this program and I spoke to a dietitian and she told me what I had to have in bags, and all the green beans came back. No surprise there, huh? So we don't give them things that we know they're not going to eat. But there's not really good follow-up because our program is not allowed to see the kids. And that's a confidentiality issue with the school district. And, you know, in a way for us, it's good. I think our insurance is less because we're not coming in contact with the kids. But it, in other ways, it's hard because we don't get to see the results. We don't get to see the kids. I'm going to pass around some thank you notes that I got. And you can just look at this and pass them from table to table because it makes my day. I have lots more of that I could have brought, but I didn't. Yes.
Do you have other requirements for the food that goes in the packs? I know I've heard, I don't remember if it's your organization or some others, that like sometimes it's had to be, well, if the kid's home alone, they have to be able to reasonably, especially with elementary kids, have a chance to make it. So it's got to be either something they can microwave easily or just maybe have, you know, a hot water kettle or something like that. And like the cans have to have like pull tops and that sort of thing, so it's easy to open.
Yeah, great point. And that's exactly right. Because one of our programs is a preschool program. And for those kids, the food's a little different. And those are the ones we pack ourselves and we buy ourselves. And sometimes the volunteers come and help us pack them. Usually about once a month or so, we have to pack up those kinds of foods. So you're right about that. And the other thing about the menus, we have, I think it's 6 different choices kids can get. So they can have kind of standard, what we always think of buying. They can have halal. They can have, Jay, help me. vegetarian, gluten-free, Asian. So they can tell the counselor how this works is they tell the counselor or their teacher at school if they want a special kind of thing. And then that person, the contact at the school district, tells us how many of each kind of food. By and large, most kids take standard, but people with religious beliefs might go for halal or... So it's great that we can have that. Also, I need to mention Backpack Brigade. They are a backpack meals program in Seattle and Kinch. They give food all over the East, all over Seattle, greater Seattle area. And they pack the packs for us. So that's why we don't have to pack the elementary school kids, just the preschool kids, and there's like 200 of them. But for the ones that we usually do 800 or so of the regular packs, and they're packed by that group. They're very good, very nice, and they charge us. It's about $6, sometimes a little more for a pack. Some of the special menus are a little bit more. So that's been a really good thing for us, and yeah.
Oh, so you mentioned earlier that you were trying to find a larger, hopefully larger organization to help with like the fundraising and stuff. Is there a reason that you haven't tried to merge with Backpack Brigade since they cover a similar area, but just, I imagine there's some reasons behind that.
No, and that's really a good point. And in fact, that's what we're looking at in the future. We might at some point do that. Yeah, that's kind of the obvious one. And the thing I like about Backpack Brigade is the CEO is paid. She has paid staff, so they have fundraisers that could help them. And that would be good for us. I just wanted it to stay on the East Side, and it's kind of like something that I've devoted myself to for 14 years now. But however the kids get... well fed, that's what's important, and so maybe in the future, but you'll be the first to know. I'll let you know if that happens.
Your budget numbers seem quite lofty. Are there any, what are a couple of corporations that are pitching in? And Belgium's got more money in the technology business than most states. Are they chipping in?
I think Windermere has been our best supporter. They've been great. Every year they've given us about $15,000, and for them that's a great, great amount. The Rotaries in Bellevue are awesome. We got two grants last year from the Downtown Bellevue Rotary. The Rotary out in Factoria has been supporting. We do get money from the Microsofts and some of the tech groups. It comes through another entity. It's called Benevity. We get a lot of donations from them. And this past year, I applied for a grant from Human Services Bellevue, and they gave us $80,000. So that was really a good grant. And next year, I talked to the woman at who manages that, the staff of Human Services. If you ever want to be on that commission, I know they always have openings. It's a good thing to be involved in. But they get a lot of money every year, millions of dollars, and each organization has to apply for it. And when I talked to staff this year, she said, next year, ask for a lot more money. So I was so glad to hear that, because I'm going like, do I get asked for $40,000? Well, we got that in the first quarter, because we're spending $40,000. And you said lofty, I'm not quite sure what you meant, but if you take the backpacks and multiply it by $6, you come very quickly to the lofty numbers. So we've got like 13,000 last year packs. So it is quite a bit of money that it costs, and I think we get a really good bargain in that $6. you know, for those packs. So.
Are those made locally?
The food?
The packs.
No, they're made in Seattle. They're put together in Seattle by Backpack Brigade, the organization we're working with now. And they do a great job. They have thousands of volunteers. It's amazing. They have it down by the stadiums. They have a big warehouse. And they come in on Thursdays, and all these volunteers, it's amazing. And they're very organized. So, yes.
Yeah. So I helped one time, and maybe people don't understand, it's actually a plastic bag. And the plastic bag goes into a student's backpack when they come to the office or whatever it is to pick it up. So we're not delivering real backpacks every week. It's a plastic little bag, and that $6 that she said, that covers the like granola bar, whatever is in there. It's all that in that $6. Pretty good.
Yeah, it is a good deal. We were spending more on a little Ziploc bag for the preschoolers. We can't do that anymore, even though we need to put them in a bag, but those things are so expensive. So you got to add all that into the $6 cost. So it is, thank you for saying that, because I always forget that. Jane.
You have to buy, because the bags are grocery bags. Do you get the donation of grocery bags, or do you have to buy all of them?
Well,
or does the backpack meal and put it over in Seattle?
Yeah, the Seattle people, that's included in their cost. They buy that. We buy for the preschool groups. We have every week we serve 200 preschoolers and 800 kids in kindergarten through high school. So they're, as I said, they're different foods, easier to eat for the little tots. And some of the notes, if you got some of the notes that I passed around, the moms sent us notes last time, and they just you know, brought tears to your eyes. You could tell how much it meant to them, and always saying God bless you. So it's nice to see that. Yeah, so the last one, yes.
I was just going to say that, like, it does make a huge impact every Friday at Sammamish. There are kids coming, they just come in, get their food, and it's not stigmatized, it's not anything. They know they can just show up, they can get their food, they can go, and because it is something they can just stick in their backpack and carry home with them, like, it's not a big deal to come get their bag of food, as far as, like, from a personal standpoint of showing up and getting the food, but it makes a huge impact at home. And I've seen kids at the elementary school level, same sort of thing, of just like, nope, this is just my food I get to take home on the weekend. There's no, like, oh, you need extra food. Like, no, it just gets taken care of, and it makes a huge impact on the students. So thank you.
Yes, that's a good point. Because kids don't want to be embarrassed. And a lot of people think that. In fact, one of the groups that I had talked to about a potential merger said, oh, we don't want to give them food because that's a stigma to those kids. But, yeah, it might be in some situations, but we go to schools where there's many packs, like you described, so they're kind of all in the same boat.
It's about 1 in 20 is about your ratio, so about 5% of the overall enrollment. The overall enrollment's about 19 to 20,000.
Yeah, that we give food to, but the percentage of students is 18% are on free and reduced. So we could serve a lot more kids. Mm-hmm. And I think we increased last year significantly because I didn't think the school district was getting the words out enough about this program. They have other priorities, and they're busy, and a lot of staff, and lots of change and turnover. But I decided I would send out a flyer, and you all know Congregations for Kids. Mm-hmm. So I know, we work together, and in their backpacks, I put a flyer. And that year, we were just inundated with kids. An awful lot of kids signed up that had never been on before. So I think outreach on our own was helpful. that we reach more kids. So any other questions or comments about what I've covered? One statistic I found is that there are 300,000 kids in Washington State who are living in families with food insecurity, which seems far too much to me. And the states with the most families in need are tend to be in the southern states. They're much higher than us, but even here, that's, you know, it's just too much.
Yeah. Why is it important to have a nonprofit that has a staff that has salary? Why is the salary important? Is that part of the nonprofit status?
No, you can have salary or not nonprofit. If you have salary, it's a lot more
expense.
No, well, yes, a little more expense, but also just complications, you know, all the right rules around people who are paid. The problem is that after 14 years, volunteers have gotten tired and old. They moved on, and I'm not having a whole lot of young people come in anymore and work for free. It is a lot of work. Fundraising is not easy. It was fine when it was like we were doing 60 packs a week and we were doing it ourselves and packing it ourselves. But after a while, when you get 1,000 kids, that's a whole other different thing. And it's full-time work. And so the question is, why shouldn't a person do that be paid? So I think in order to continue, you come to a point in organization where they decide, you look back at Congregations for the Homeless. I think they started out as volunteers. Same way with Sophia Way. You start out that way, and then if you want to grow and expand and continue and have the consistency, you have to have some salaried people for stability, I think. So now it's working great. We are so lucky to have the volunteers. We are so lucky to have the churches like St. Andrew's here giving us a check regularly. It's so nice to know, oh yeah, there'll be something coming in now. And we have a lot of people that donate. One volunteer showed up and first time she volunteered and she went home. And I guess she talked to her husband, and it wasn't long, and there was a $10,000 check that came in. People see this, and they want to help. And some people in our neighborhood, in our community, do have money. We know that. So we just keep asking, and I don't mind asking. Some people don't like to ask for money, but for me, it's like, no, I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for food for a kid. That's not hard to do. So, yeah. Anything else?
I have a question.
Yes.
At what time of year do I see this photo of the basketball team doing a packing thing? At what time of year does that help you? Like, is it more helpful to have that sort of help of packing preschool stuff in the fall, in the spring?
Oh, well, during the school year, the packing's really important because we don't do that in the summer, right? We do that during the school year, so that would be a good time.
Because, like, 400 meals was only, like, 2 weeks' worth, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks' worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it takes a lot of packing.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie, which... she's just awesome. She does organizes all that. She's also the forget the title. At St. Madeline Sophie, she's the education
formation leader.
Faith formation leader, yes. Thank you. So yes, Jay, thank you.
last year, to kind of follow up on the help.
Here's the microphone, please.
Last year, our youth group, when they were doing the house build in Issaquah, I organized and they packed for preschool meals for the coming year. The only problem we have is just got to find some place to store them, and we had no problem with that. I think they were stored here in the church. So if you have a storage place, you can do it during the summertime.
Yes.
Because it's all non-perishable.
You just have to make sure that your dates are...
Yeah,
most dates go for at least a year.
They packed, and I can't remember when the house was built, but it wasn't that long.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we like to get youth groups involved, and a lot of people from companies tell us they want to volunteer. We just have to work it out with our schedule and the volunteers, but we like to have youth groups, and especially people who donate to us, they like to come out and work. So the Bellevue Rotary, there's a number of Rotaries. The Bellevue Rotary that gives to us is the Noon Rotary. It's a great group there. If anyone wants to join the Rotary, I'd say go for it. They do a lot of good things. And they said, we really would like to be involved. We want to come out. Can we pack? So they came out and they packed. And one couple brought their granddaughter, who was like this big. And she was, I have a photo of her, but she was so impressive. I mean, she was walking around packing like crazy. She was really having a good time. So as long as they can reach up to the table and put the food in there, that's good. Yes?
Have you solicited the help of the scouting community, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and Cub Scouts, for helping them pack?
I don't think we have. I guess I just haven't known someone in the scouting world. But that's a great suggestion.
Me too.
Is that what you are?
Well, I teach band and orchestra at Spanish as well. So I'm a band teacher at Spanish High School. So I'm always looking for service opportunities for those students. And I was like, oh, I have them all trapped there. I mean, we're all working together there for band camp in the summer. That's why I was asking when it makes sense for you to have packing parties, because, yeah, you have to store it for months. But if you only have to store it for a couple weeks, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And Cub Scouts get that.
And Cub Scouts, that's definitely something Cub Scouts do.
Yeah, and the school district, all their things are there. It's their school storage, so we just get a little space.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, if you know somebody kids who want to go, work with them best we can. And about every month, we usually need to do some sort of packing. So, is it about time to?
Are there any other questions while we have a Captain Jam here?
I imagine there's a similar need in Snoqualmie, Issaquah, Sammamish. Do you have links with those groups as well?
Yes, with some of them. I don't know the ones in Issaquah. That's been off and on. But there's a big one in Lake Washington. The Lake Washington backpack program, they have more kids than we do, I think. They have an awful lot of kids that they need to feed, and they are sponsored by the Lake Washington Schools Foundation, which I think is wonderful. So I don't know if I should say these things, but I did go to the Bellevue School District Schools Foundation, and they said, no thanks, it's not what we do. We try to get kids educated in special programs, but they don't do food, which I'm thinking, well, they can't do those programs if they don't have food, but... Anyway, every organization has their culture and rules. But as for others, there's one in North Seattle, that area, and then the Backpack Brigade serves so many in Seattle, I guess hundreds, and they go to Kent, Renton, all around, so there's a lot of kids there. But mostly, thank you. I just want to make sure that you hear how much we appreciate what you do here at St. Andrews, too. Jay, especially, she's just kept that liaison going between us and you. And that's been just, we're so grateful. And for her continued volunteering and the rest of you who volunteer. So, and helping us buy the packs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. I thought I knew a lot about it, but I learned a lot this morning. And again, thank you to all the volunteers who run this particular program. It's fantastic.